Spending most of our day talking Steelers Commanders. Pitt with a home game tomorrow against an ACC foe, Virginia. And I will be in attendance.
Yes, you will.
Wonderful listener who donated a lot of money to Feed the Need. Going to come and tailgate with us and have a wonderful experience, I would hope, for them.
Callis
will be there. I'm trying to get Austin Bechtold to come, but he's telling me he might go to the Penn State game instead, like a jerk.
I thought Penn State was away.
No, it's the whiteout.
Oh, sorry. Like, I'm supposed to know the stupid Penn State people are doing. Like, what am I? I'm supposed to know it's a whiteout? Like, oh, it's like it's a.
Shouldn't you know other big games going on in the
it's not
in
a big,
state?
It's not a big
in
game.
The area?
It's not a big
that's
game.
That's a big game? It's Washington?
Big game. No, it's not a big game.
Not a big game. I mean, you got to win. You got to take care of business. Penn State, they should run the table. They're favored to do so. Actually, a texter at 412-928-9370 said, put the PA parlay in while y'all are at it. Pitt -7.5. Penn State -13.5. Oh, big number. Steelers +2.5. Eagles -7. +1,200.
Oh,
book it.
I kind of like that a lot.
I like that.
I like that a lot. Now that I thought Penn State was at Washington, so now that I know that it is a whiteout, that's going to be tough for Washington to even do anything. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Philly's line's now moved to 7.5. They're on the road at Dallas. That one, I think Philly wins the game. I don't know about the 7.5. The hook throws me off, Doran.
Who's the quarterback?
Not my guy.
Is it still Cooper? No. Trey Lance?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I tried to black Dallas out after the loss earlier in the year. But it's not going to be Dak Prescott. That much we know. That one and the Steelers one are the ones I'm concerned about. I think Pitt blows out Virginia. And I think Penn State at home eventually just wears Washington down and wins by multiple touchdowns. The NFL games, these spreads, they always spook me out.
Yep.
But we got a real expert on to help us with it, and that's Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. It is November. What do you say, November, Lee?
It's November.
That's exactly right. November. Pitt, 18th right now in the college football playoff rankings, so you want some chaos ahead of them. You want Pitt to run the table, and you got a big Steelers game this weekend. So let's get down to brass tacks here, Lee. Alabama ahead of Pitt in the college football playoff rankings, a 3-point favorite taking on LSU. And our friend Paul Skeens, along with Livy Dunn, will be the guest pickers on College Game Day.
Love it. Love it. You know that what's going on? I think, how about 1 week if, I don't know if they have a week off, but Carson Beck, you know, he's dating one of the Cavender twins.
I did see that. And if I may, he's a goofy looking guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So I think that if they have a bye week, I'm not sure if they do, they should have him. Maybe he can roll in his Lambo with one of the Cavender twins. So just a suggestion.
At some point, she's going to get picked off just like everything that's in his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got him.
I did okay in college. Why didn't I end up with any of these, you know, girls that were making that kind of money?
Lee, there's not enough time in this segment for us to list the reasons, buddy.
All right. So I think that in this game, I think it's an elimination game. Whoever loses three losses, I think you're going to be out. LSU won an instant classic in 2022 on that TD pass and two-point conversion in overtime from Jaden Daniels. LSU is a perfect 13-0 in Baton Rouge lately, and games at night, crowds going to be liquored up pretty good. Kalen DeBaere is having some trouble getting his team ready to play on the road. They did not look ready against Tennessee. Tennessee did not play well in the first half. If he had his team ready, they would have been up by two touchdowns. This place is going to be even tougher for them. So playing in the Pac-12, a little bit different than playing in the SEC, some of these tough venues. Unless Jalen Milroe is really good throwing the football, and he's been up and down of late, I think it's going to be tough for Bama to win here. Wrong team favored, LSU, 28-24, straight up.
Lee, your Hurricanes are taking on Georgia Tech, giving 11 points. What do you like in this one?
All right, so I'm going to wait on this one until I'm sure – that we're going to know exactly what's going to go on with Georgia Tech and their quarterback situation. If we're going to see Haynes King play, I think Georgia Tech is probably the right side here. He's a dual-threat quarterback. Gave Miami trouble. Don't want to be reminded 45 times during the game when I'm watching it that all Mario needed to do was take the knee to get the win last year, but that'll be the case. I think that they have enough on offense to stress Miami's defense, which for the first three quarters last week against Duke got no pressure on the quarterback. Now they're down their top two cornerbacks. They will get their number one guy back who has been gone since week one. They'll get him back after the bye, but not soon enough here. Game's on the road. 12 noon start here. Miami escapes again, 35-30.
Man, they're a fun watch, though. Probably not so much for you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're winning. They're winning, so that's fun. But, yeah, I mean, every game.
Here's what I think is going to happen. If they can win out and somehow win the ACC championship game, obviously they'll be a top four team. They're going to have a tough time if they matched up against a team with good receivers like an Ohio State, Texas, Georgia. Who else? Oh, the Oregon Ducks. Those four teams would really scare me. Those teams might put 50 and we might lose 52-35.
Lee Pitt, 7.5-point home favorite, taking on Virginia in a bounce back spot for them.
Yeah, it's a bounce back, but maybe Virginia's bye came at the perfect time. Looks like Charles Harris probably still is out, but they got back two offensive linemen. And sometimes when the dream is burst, teams come out and play better. They're looser. But UVA needs two wins to get to a bowl. So I think the bye might have come at the perfect time here. I'm going to say Pitt wins this game 34-28. But I think Virginia might be the right side if I had to take a side here.
Let's head over to the NFL. The Lions are taking on the Texans. Lions giving 4.5 to Houston.
So I was shocked at this. I was looking at how teams do point spread-wise, and I thought Kansas City over the last 10 years had the best point spread record for a certain period of time. Turns out, for a four-year period of time, Detroit does. 42-17, even better than Kansas City's had during that time. So this is right now, in my opinion, the best team in the NFL. How in their first outdoor game, they went to Green Bay and not only didn't turn the ball over once, didn't even have a drop pass. And on the other side, Green Bay turned it over, six drop passes. I'm impressed. I think now that they bolster the defensive line through a trade and also get Williams back at receiver, this is a team that's just too explosive here for Houston here. Should be a fun game, but I think that probably Detroit's the right side here, 37-30.
And then the Steelers on the road. They're going to be waving burgundy towels to try to drown out the terrible towels, which is silly and it's lame. I get why they're doing it, however. Who do you like in this one, Lee? Washington favored 2.5.
The only thing you can do to drown out the terrible towels is to wave the right white hankies that the Dolphins used to do. So It's not going to work for Washington. I love Jaden Daniels. In the future, I will not go against him very often. You go against top quarterbacks, wagering in the long term, you're going to lose a lot of money. I think he's going to win the Rookie of the Year. I think he might be in the top three in Most Valuable Player Award. But the Steelers are the better all-around team, better defense. Mike Tomlin, 12-4 off a bye with six straight victories following a week's rest. And then Dan Quinn's done a great job with the defense, but they're still 29th in run defense, and the Steelers are a heavy ground-oriented team. If they're able to have some success, then Russell Wilson play action is going to light them up here. Pittsburgh pulls away. They are the right side here. I think they'll win this game 34-23.
All right, Lee, we appreciate your time. As always, it is Dovember, and tell the people what they need to know.
Yep, free game. You want to get a free game? We've got Penn State and Washington first. Five callers. I'll give it to them for free. I think there's a clear right side, so you want to get this winner. Start off your day on Saturday. Just call 800-400-9741, Dovember. 4 weeks, $297 of our phone service. Or how about this? Bring it back. Also, the Baker's Dozen, 13 games. Combined Saturday and Sunday, just $97. One place, ParamountSports.com.
You're the best, Lee. But look in the mirror. I mean, come on, Cavender twins. Come on, buddy.
come on, I was a pretty good-looking guy back in the day.
I believe
it. Was, I didn't have a game like Carson Beck or someone like that. So
take it easy, Lee. We'll talk to you next Friday.
See you guys.
He's a gem. Love that guy. He's the best.
He is a good-looking fellow, though.
Dovember, yeah, he is. He is.
Probably was good-looking, you know.
He's got money. That doesn't hurt.
Right. Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lives in Florida.
What if Baker's dozen? What if that package was just a series of Baker Mayfield prop bets? I think I'd be in on that, too.
He usually hits his props.
Baker?
Mm-hmm.
And he's throwing the ball to guys I thought were retired.
Yeah.
Like Sterling Shepard.
Right. Kate Otten. He's made Kate
Otten. Tight? What?
Huh?
Huh?
The tight end?
Oh.
He's made Kate Otten look like an all-pro.
If I named a team, can you name it the tight end for every team in the league?
Probably.
We don't have to play the game, but you know.
Actually, no. I couldn't. I don't know. Who's Green Bay's tight end?
I've done this to myself.
Right.
And I feel bad. Texter, listening in Indiana, guys, you guys are great. Crowley, you sucked at the other station, but you're pure gold now.
Indiana, there's another person from a different state.
Could be Indiana, PA. Please clarify. And also, it's a nice backhanded compliment there.
It is.
Crowley, you used to suck. You don't suck now. Going behind enemy lines in about 10 minutes with a Washington Commanders expert. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Someone texted in, Doran, after I was mean to Lee Sterling in the last segment and said that, Crowley, you're not supposed to self-deprecate other people.
True.
Well, it stems from a total lack of self-confidence, I think.
Yeah.
It's where that comes from. Mm-hmm. And I don't have Callis to bully today, so I had to take it out on Lee.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Callis not being here, Austin Bechtold's working his second job. He's got a college game tomorrow that he's doing play-by-play for, and he's printing out all the notes over there.
Mm-hmm.
You got who? Seton Hill and who else?
Not even close. Westminster and Geneva.
Well, Austin and I are working tonight's game, too, high school football.
That's right.
Aliquippa and TJ.
That's right. Big game.
Huge game.
Massive. I didn't want to be outdone.
Yeah, it's a 4A semifinal game.
You said you're doing Geneva.
Yes.
Is that where they had the convention?
No.
Okay.
Beaver Falls.
All right, I got a whole bunch of Steelers questions for you. Is he talking? Because my headphones just came out.
Where's your game at tomorrow?
It's at Geneva in Beaver Falls. Hmm. Geneva College.
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times.
Geneva?
Yeah.
Doing what?
Yeah, little football camps when I was little.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So maybe the next Doran Dickerson is there.
Never know.
You don't know. Steelers questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Just a bunch of stuff. Some things we've addressed, a lot of things we haven't. So I want to try to get to everything. I mean, we're previewing a game, for God's sake.
Rapid fire or like, you know,
it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Depends how fast you want to answer them or not.
Okay.
If you answer them too fast, I don't know if we'll be able to fill the segment.
We have 5 minutes.
Okay. Where'd I write these? Okay. Will we see Mike Williams?
Yes.
How much?
10 to 15 plays, and I think he has 2 catches, but his presence is noticed. And he's going to get his feet on the ground, and it's going to look pretty good.
Will we see a moon ball to Mike Williams?
Yes, an attempt. I don't know if it's going to be completed, but there will be an attempt on a play action where Russell Wilson throws down the field to Mike Williams, maybe a deep post. That is my call for the moon ball-ish type throw.
Last completed Steelers deep post to Calvin Austin in Las Vegas last year, bang.
Not George Pickens this year?
Did they hit him one on a post?
I think they might.
You're probably right.
Maybe it got called back. I think that's one that got called back in the beginning of the year.
Atlanta.
Maybe.
How do you feel about Steelers' rush defense in this matchup?
I think it's very specific to who they're going to let them beat or try to beat them. So it depends on if Robinson is playing. I know that Eckler is definitely a threat, but they're not going to let Jaden Daniels beat them with his legs. So the rush defense, they may get ran on by running backs, but Jaden Daniels will not have an effective game running the football.
They going to spy him, you think? I mean, he does a lot of that damage on the zone read.
Right. No,
he will scramble.
Not. He will scramble. Probably not.
Would it be Peyton Wilson?
Probably.
I think they've got an issue, football guy here, Dorm, where in the nickel defense they're getting run on.
That issue is going to be fixed.
By Cam Sutton?
Correct.
Just being a better run defender than a minuscule, miniature, tiny little guy, Beanie Bishop.
Yes.
I think that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind Landon Roberts being out there in the nickel. I know it's passing situations, but teams are getting the Steelers in the nickel on, you know, early downs too. And I don't mind Landon Roberts in there in the nickel on early downs. I know that he could be an eyesore out there against the pass, and so you're kind of trying to figure out what you can do there. Ideally, you'd like Patrick Queen to be better coming downhill, but he's just not. He's a good sideline to sideline guy, blows up screens. Landon Roberts is a thumper, and I think they missed that too in their nickel. All right. How do you use Cam Sutton?
In the slot.
Yeah.
In the slot. Probably blitzing too. I'd blitz them. I don't know how much they're going to blitz or try to blitz.
I think they might blitz more the second half.
I feel like that they will too. And I think that Cam Sutton has a lot to do with that. Or blitz somebody else and have him cover the ground of somebody else. Let Minka do some things differently and be more effective on defense, be in the mix, I guess, a little bit more, and have Cam Sutton cover his back. I think they use him in those ways. But honestly, this game, you let him just do what he's really good at and not really put too much on his plate mentally of having to, you know where to drop, know where to do this, know how to do this. Like, just go be an athlete and go cover and go blitz.
I think they have depth there, and I didn't know that they would ever get to that point. Like, I think Beanie Bishop, if he's your fourth corner or your number two slot, I think you're in an okay place now. Because I don't think his issues early were he stunk. I think he just didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Things were moving fast.
Yeah.
It's the NFL. It's a different game.
Yeah.
Things were moving fast, and you just forget, and all of a sudden, bang, bang, there's a play.
Bang, bang.
So then you slow it down, and which he has, and look, he's been doing very, very well. I think he'll play. I think they'll split reps. It's not like Cam Sutton will get majority of the reps over Beanie Bishop. I think that they'll split those.
And I hope that they do utilize him sometimes at safety and allow Minka to be closer to the line of scrimmage.
Exactly.
I mean, that to me, it's been discussed, and Minka hasn't had a turnover, and Terrell Austin talked about it yesterday. You want to keep the lid on the defense. They still have given up big plays, not to the extent of last year. So he prevents them, but they haven't prevented them totally. Get him near the line of scrimmage. That's why he's making the money, I think. And I think they're going to utilize Cam Sutton in that way. And who plays more snaps, Preston Smith or Mike Williams?
Preston Smith. Yep.
I just love the idea. There's multiple ways they could do it. I love the idea of getting him in there early, rotating him and Nick Herbig in there so that Highsmith and Watt are fresh at the end of the game. But imagine Watt coming off the field like early in the fourth quarter, and you've been dealing with Watt, and then for two consecutive plays you get that moose in there. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Wear you down.
Yeah, and mentally it's not going to be taxing, so he kind of knows what he has to do. I mean, that position doesn't really change. Like, you can play it, and it doesn't, like, schemes will change around you, but you're rushing the passer, you got contain, you could drop in the flat.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. Or you got C-gap.
C-gap. Could be the C-gap,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like the inside gap of, like, the last offensive player.
Making it digestible for the average fan. All right, now it's time to go behind enemy lines, brought to you by Monster Brewing. And we're talking to David Harrison, Commanders expert for Commanders SI, also the host and producer of Locked On Commanders podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Good morning to you, David. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the invite. I hope you guys are doing well.
Absolutely doing great. A football Friday and a massive matchup this weekend. And before we get into any of the sexy stuff here, a couple of injury questions for you. Brian Robinson Jr., running back for Washington, has been limited in practice with a hamstring injury. Do you expect him to play? Yeah. How much do you think that injury limits him?
Yeah, I get the feeling that he's going to play. They definitely are wanting him to play if he can go. You know, he was really close to being able to go against the Giants last weekend. You know, went all the way up to the pregame warmups and just didn't feel right in the pregame warmups, so they went ahead and shut him down. And this week he's been limited, but he's been out there working and all those things. So I kind of feel like it's going to follow probably the same pattern as it did when he missed the Ravens game. He was able to come back that next week. But at the same time, you know, with Thursday Night Football coming up the week after against a division rival, that's obviously a really big game. So there's certainly reason that the Commanders could choose to go ahead and just save him, give him another week and let him rest up more for that Thursday night game. So personally, I'm kind of like 60-40 that he will play. And that's kind of a bad place to be in if you're trying to project this game. But I can tell you that the team is doing everything they can to have him available against the Steelers.
Behind Enemy Lines brought to you by Monster Brewing. David Harrison joining us from Commanders SI. All right, Marshawn Lattimore, they trade for him and he hasn't practiced yet. So I'd imagine he's a no-go.
Yeah, I don't expect him to be out there. He's not even stretching, through Thursday. We'll see what he does Friday, but he's not even in the stretch line yet. So, you know, I don't think they've really had a chance to comb through his medicals. And he's even someone that, you know, I don't know if I would expect him to play against Philadelphia either. I think the following week against Dallas Cowboys might be the more realistic. But for me, I'm approaching this game, I should say, as Lattimore is not going to be active against the Steelers. And then, you know, moving into next week, potentially is active against the Eagles.
David, what makes Jaden Daniels so good? I mean, you know, you see quarterbacks in college, and it doesn't always translate, but he has translated his talents to the NFL level. And I think he's in a really good situation compared to some of the other rookie quarterbacks. But from your eyes and watching it every single week, what makes him so good?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're right. The situation, I think, certainly helps, but also just from his own personal standpoint, like his poise, is next level, you know. And I know a lot of people are starting to talk about that, but that's something that we started noticing back in rookie minicamp, you know, when the veterans came in for OTAs. Is just no moment is really too big for him. He's always having fun playing the game, and he just embraces it, you know, all at every level. And he's admitted, you know, butterflies obviously come into effect, but he kind of just uses those to fuel, you know, his focus on what's coming up next. And I think that's what's been the most impressive about him, and that's what's allowed him to kind of just take everything as it comes. But then you mentioned the situation, and I think you have to give a hat tip to Cliff Kingsbury, who really came into this situation and said, I'm going to let Jaden Daniels be Jaden. Like, he's not trying to bottle him. He's not trying to reshape him into anything. He just wants Jaden Daniels to go out there and be his authentic self as a quarterback. And then what Cliff and this coaching staff has done is taken what Jaden does naturally and then just steered into the training and development of that natural ability to make him even better and help him accentuate those talents. And it's working really well. It's a really good example of what can happen when the coaching staff truly knows its personnel and steers its training and its coaching and its mentoring towards that personnel group.
David Harrison, an expert on the Washington Commanders, joining us here for our Behind Enemy Lines segment. We've been referencing these stats all week, David. 49% of all Commanders drives reach the red zone, number one in the NFL since 2000. 61% of drives score points, also number one in the NFL since at least 2000. So I guess the question is, when the Commanders, if the Commanders' offense has been stymied at any point this year, what has done that to them, and where could this really good offense stand to be a little bit better?
Yeah, because if you look at the red zone percentage, right, the red zone percentage itself is not great. And a couple of things have kind of contributed to that. And obviously the week two game against the New York Giants, where they got into the red zone six times, had to settle for six field goals in a seven field goal win over the Giants, certainly hurts those numbers. And that's something that you've seen them get better at. They obviously did better against the Giants this last week, getting into the red zone, and also capitalizing in the red zone. So that shows that growth. And that's part of it, is they just had to kind of grow into their red zone scheme and grow into their abilities, and even some of the younger abilities of guys like Luke McCaffrey, who, you know, are a big part of the chip blocking game, which certainly the Steelers are going to see plenty of this weekend. But Luke has gotten a lot better at hitting his chip block, but then also getting open and becoming an available receiver for Jaden very quickly. And that has helped, you know, obviously do that. But honestly, Brian Robinson Jr. too is a part of that success or lack of success, right? Against the Baltimore Ravens, the first game that he had to miss, they ended up with less than 60 yards rushing from their running backs, and that was due, you know, very, very largely to the lack of Brian Robinson. You look at the New York Giants matchup last week, where they were without Brian Robinson, and you have a very similar situation, actually. Ironically enough, I just did that math this morning, because I'm going to talk about this on my Locked On Commanders episode, but they averaged 3.3 yards per carry against the Giants until Chris Rodriguez got his first carry. Now, Chris Rodriguez is a practice squad running back, but he's much more of a power type back. He's a, you know, a gap type of dude who just gets north and south very quickly and runs behind his pads. Once Chris Rodriguez got in there, Chris himself averaged 4.7 yards per carry in the game and jumped the Commanders' run game average to 3.8 yards per game. So it just kind of shows you that this Commanders' offense is not just run first, because they really are, but they're power run first. When the power run game is getting going, you know, it brings that middle part of the defense close to the box. It freezes them and allows Jaden to do a lot more offensively. So without Brian Robinson or even Chris Rodriguez against the New York Giants, that's something that can really hinder them, especially, you know, you need that middle of the field open if you can get it in the red zone. So that's something they need. And Chris Rodriguez, for what it's worth, this last game against the Giants was his third time being called up from the practice squad, which means he can't be called up again unless he's signed to the active roster. And right now there's no spot to sign him into. So if Brian Robinson can't go, it's going to be interesting to see what the team decides to do, if they do release a player at the bottom of the roster to get Chris up there, or if they try to roll with Austin Ekeler and Jeremy McNichols, and then maybe Michael Wiley, who is not a power runner, the undrafted rookie on their roster.
David, great breakdown, man. We appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we'll see you at the game on Sunday.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
See you.
Thanks, David.
I love doing that.
You always do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to see you there. I'm not going. I'm not driving to Washington. Although, my God, dude, can you imagine going to the Pens-Caps game tonight and then the Commanders game on Sunday?
Yeah.
That'd be a blast.
Yeah. That's like next week for Pittsburgh.
Yes.
You know, go to backyard basketball and then Pitt-Clemson and then go into Ravens-Steelers.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Nice little weekend. How long has he been covering, do we know, the Commanders?
Decent amount of time, yeah.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask him, through this point, who does he think has had a better rookie season, Jaden Daniels or RG3?
It's a great question.
I just didn't know how long he's been covering if he wasn't around.
Yeah, I think I'll give my opinion.
Yeah.
I think Daniels.
Do you?
Yeah.
RG3 was pretty good.
He was really good. He was really good. I don't know that it was his rookie year, but I'll never forget, or it was early in his career. And so he's the franchise at that point in Washington. I mean, sky's the limit, Heisman Trophy winner. He was unstoppable. And they called a pass, and he's running down the field. It was like a wide receiver pass or running back pass, whatever it was. Goes to catch the ball, and Ryan Clark almost takes his head off.
I remember that too. Like,
what are you doing?
I remember that too.
Like, it's so stupid.
It was like they put him in harm's way on purpose.
Seriously. Guess we need to see Christian Kirk, or Kirk Cousins. I did it again, Doran. Christian Kirk. I mean, his collarbone could have been broken on that. Like, what are you?
Man, he got beat up. Man.
You've got a franchise quarterback that they ran a ton. You're going to have him running down the field. He has Ryan Clark? In that era where you were allowed to kill dudes? Come on now.
Mm.
One thing, didn't have time to get to with David there, but Washington's run defense, 142 yards a game they're giving up. 142 a game. We think the Steelers' run defense hadn't been all that great. 142 a game is disastrous. Steelers still fourth in the NFL, giving up 90 a game. So they've had their moments where it's been bad. Washington's run defense been bad all year. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And social media's biggest losers, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. And that is Deontay Johnson, who 1 hour ago tweeted, "It's always two sides to a story," with a shrugging emoji.
Two sides to what story? I mean, you've fallen down on routes and didn't get out of bounds.
If I may, I laughed very hard when he fell down. And I don't know that I have anything against Deontay Johnson as a guy or anything like that, but it was funny to me. It was also funny that he couldn't get out of bounds, and the man who tackled him was former Steeler Mike Hilton. So it was very, not quite, but kind of reminiscent of the Chase Claypool deal at the end of that Vikings game, where Claypool was celebrating after the reception and the clock's winding down, and his teammates were like, "Yo, dude,
like, what you doing?
What are you doing?" So that's part and parcel with acquiring Deontay Johnson, and now he's tweeting out vague things. Be careful, man. Can't get traded again. Deadline's passed. Be careful. All right, are you ready for Sunday's game balls on a Friday?
Sure am.
Who are we giving a game ball to?
I am going to give a game ball to Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson. Everybody's like, Mike Williams is the number two. He's going to take the reps from Van Jefferson. No, Van Jefferson's still going to be used. He's going to be utilized. And I think he does continue his momentum that he had. He had a touchdown in the first game of Russ. He had over 50-some yards receiving in the second game of Russ, and I think he has around 40-some receiving and crucial catches, about two crucial catches in this game. He's still going to be utilized because Mike Williams needs to get up to speed. So Van Jefferson continues to prove that he has a spot on this receiving corps.
I like that. Two dogs, one bone kind of mentality. Now you're getting pushed. It's been talked about for a long time. Well, now it's here. Your replacement, perhaps. Go out there and ball. Yep. I like that one. I think this game comes down to the red zone. Washington moves the ball well between the 20s. So have the Steelers. And the Steelers have had their own red zone woes this year, converting 46% of the time touchdowns in the red zone, which is not a good percentage. And Washington, while they've been good, like I said, moving the ball, Jaden Daniels has a 50% completion percentage down there, and their red zone touchdown percentage has been low. So I think it comes down to that. The Steelers have had a sack, or 18 of their 19 sacks have come in the red zone. I think T.J. Watt gets one. I think Alex Highsmith gets one. Highsmith in the red zone. Maybe he takes the ball away. Bang. He'll get a game ball. So I got Highsmith. You got Van Jefferson. I think the Steelers win too, Doran. I'm not super confident in it, but they've won 7 consecutive games coming off a bye. They're 13-4 under Tomlin after a bye, and they got a 25-6 record with Tomlin as coach against a rookie quarterback. All those things too much for Washington to overcome, plus their injury woes. I think Pittsburgh wins.
24-21 Steelers.
You got, is that the, would that hit the under?
What is the over under?
Damn it.
Is it 45? 46? I don't know what it is, actually. It might be, yeah, it might be around there. I'd say 46.5.
It's 44.5.
Yeah, it's the over.
Man, I like that.
Under. Yeah, over. Yeah, by one.
Math.
Yeah, sorry.
I got Steelers 28-24. Becky, would you care to throw a prediction out there? You're chatting away with someone back there.
Yeah, Jolie Nelson is working the show for me today.
Great man.
Great being with you guys today. I think that the Steelers are going to lose this game. It would be 24-20. I'm a little conflicted on it. Want to pick them to win, but think Jaden Daniels is a blossoming star, and he gets against Mike Tomlin's rookie quarterback record.
Blossoming star.
Blossoming.
Last blossoming quarterback that was a rookie to take on Mike Tomlin and win. CJ Stroud.
Yep.
DTR, was DTR a rookie?
Yep.
Damn it.